Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be diving into something pretty interesting. I think it's called the Ellipsis Manual Training Planner. And now, this isn't like your typical self-help book. This is like a deep dive into human behavior.
Yeah.
It's like a whole year-long program designed to help you read and even influence how people act.
Yeah. You know, what I find fascinating is how this manual highlights all the little cues we miss in everyday interactions. You know, it's like we're only seeing a fraction of what's really going on.
Right. It really emphasizes that, right? Like right off the bat, it stresses the importance of observation, you know?
Yeah.
It says even something like smell, you know, can give you insights into someone's emotional state.
Oh, yeah. And hand preference, you know, it argues that which hand someone naturally uses for gestures, you know, can reveal deeper personality traits. And then there's facial expressions, those tiny little micro movements that can speak volumes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the manual is clear that becoming skilled at reading these cues takes practice. It compares it to learning an instrument, you're gradually moving from conscious effort to where it becomes second nature.
Like any skill, really, you start with the basics, you focus on those fundamentals, and over time, it just becomes more intuitive.
Week 3 of the manual focuses on the eyes. It talks about pupil dilation, blink rate, you know, how quickly someone closes their eyelids, and of course, gaze direction.
Yeah, the manual argues that the direction someone looks when recalling a memory can be really telling. It can suggest how truthful or positive that memory is.
I'm definitely going to be paying more attention to that. Now, we can't talk about human behavior without addressing deception.
Yeah.
The manual dives into this in weeks 9 and 13, and it introduces this concept called the Deception Rating Scale.
The Deception Rating Scale, or DRS, is part of a framework they call the Behavioral Table of Elements. Essentially, it assigns scores to specific behaviors based on how strongly they correlate with stress, which could indicate deception.
So if someone is showing a lot of these high-scoring behaviors, does that automatically mean they're lying?
Well, not necessarily. The manual emphasizes that context is crucial, you know. Those behaviors could simply mean someone's feeling stressed or anxious for other reasons. On the other hand, if someone's not exhibiting many of these behaviors, it might suggest they're being truthful or at least very confident in what they're saying.
So it's more nuanced than just assuming every fidget means someone's hiding something.
Exactly. The manual suggests studying police interviews as a way to observe these behaviors in action, not to become an expert interrogator, but to better understand how those cues play out in real-world situations.
That's an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of real-world cues, week 5 of the manual focuses on body language, specifically observing someone's spinal angle and breathing patterns.
Oh, heart.
I had no idea the spine could be so expressive.
Right. The manual says the angle of someone's spine can reveal their level of interest, leaning in, leaning back. It all sends a message. It even suggests observing couples in photographs and see if the angle of their spines reflects their relationship dynamics.
It's like our bodies are constantly communicating, even when we're not saying a word.
Absolutely. Observing those subtle physical cues can really enhance your understanding of those unspoken dynamics.
Now, there's something else in the manual that really piqued my curiosity. The needs map from week 21 and the Hughes Social Stability Scale from week 23. It describes them as tools for understanding people's motivations and vulnerabilities.
Yeah, the needs map, like the name suggests, is about identifying those core needs that drive our behavior, what makes us tick, essentially.
And the social stability scale.
Think of it as a gauge of someone's social confidence and resilience. Observing certain behaviors can give you a sense of where someone falls on that scale.
So how do we actually use this knowledge?
Well, by understanding someone's needs and fears, you get a better grasp of what drives their actions, what influences their decisions. That insight can be invaluable in building relationships, navigating conflicts, maybe even influencing outcomes in a positive way.
Almost like having a superpower, the ability to understand what's going on beneath the surface.
In a way, yes, and this is just scratching the surface. The manual also goes into techniques for subtly influencing behavior, starting in weeks 24, 26, and 30.
Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. What kind of techniques are we talking about?
For example, it introduces something called gestural markers, where you use specific hand gestures to subtly associate positive traits or states with yourself or someone else.
Clever.
It also talks about cultivating a sense of authority, not in a domineering way, but by developing a presence that inspires trust and compliance.
So it's about more than just words. It's about your whole demeanor.
Exactly. And then there are rapport building techniques, things like mirroring body language, matching breathing patterns, using sensory-based language to create a subconscious connection.
It's incredible how much goes on beneath our conscious awareness, isn't it?
It really is, and this manual shines a light on all those subtle but powerful dynamics that shape our interactions.
It really is fascinating. Now, where does the manual go from here? We've talked about observation deception, body language needs fears. What other secrets does it unlock?
Well, the second half of the year-long program shifts from just observing and analyzing to actually applying these insights. It focuses on how to ethically influence behavior, building on everything you've learned in the first 6 months.
Ethically being the key word there, we're not talking about manipulation, are we?
Definitely not. The manual really stresses ethical conduct throughout. It emphasizes that these techniques should always be used responsibly and with respect for the other person.
That's reassuring. So give us a glimpse into these advanced techniques from the later part of the manual.
One technique that stood out to me is called fractionation. It's introduced around week 36, and it involves guiding someone in and out of different emotional states.
Okay, that sounds intense. How does that work?
It's about skillfully shifting the conversation between topics that evoke different emotions. You might start with a lighthearted story that makes them laugh, then transition to something more serious that evokes empathy, then back to something humorous.
So you're creating a kind of emotional roller coaster, and that somehow makes them more receptive to your suggestions.
Exactly. It's like you're creating a bond through those shared emotional experiences, even if those experiences are in a way artificially induced.
I could see how that could be powerful if used ethically. What else is in this manual?
There's another concept called neurological overload, which is introduced around week 39. It involves overwhelming the listener's conscious mind with rapid-fire questions or statements, creating an opening for suggestions to slip past their critical filters.
Whoa, that sounds almost like a Jedi mind trick. Is that even ethical?
Like any tool, it depends on the intent. The manual makes it clear that the goal should never be to harm or exploit someone, but rather to guide them towards a positive outcome for themselves, and hopefully for the community, think about how this could be applied to local leaders here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
It all comes back to using these techniques responsibly. What other insights did you find particularly interesting?
One that stuck with me is the idea that even negative experiences can be reframed and used to influence behavior. For instance, if someone shares a fear or insecurity, you can acknowledge it, validate that feeling, then use it as a starting point to suggest a solution or a different perspective.
Turning a weakness into an opportunity to growth. I like that.
The manual is full of those aha moments.
Yeah.
It really encourages you to think outside the box when it comes to understanding and influencing behavior.
It's clear that this goes way beyond just reading body language. It's a whole program for developing these advanced psychological skills that can be applied in so many areas of life.
Absolutely. And it draws from so many different fields, psychology, neuro-linguistic programming, persuasion, communication theory. It's a very holistic approach.
For someone who wants to explore this further, where would you suggest they start?
The manual itself is the best place, of course, but beyond that, I'd encourage anyone to just become more mindful of their own behavior and the behavior of those around them. Start paying attention to those subtle cues we've been talking about, body language, eye movements, tone of voice.
It's like a whole new world opens up when you start tuning into those signals, isn't it?
Absolutely. That self-awareness is so important because it helps you become a more conscious and deliberate communicator, and that can lead to more meaningful interactions in all areas of life.
I'm curious, do you have any examples from the manual of how these techniques can be used in everyday life?
One that comes to mind is using embedded commands, introduced around week 34. It's a subtle way to influence someone's subconscious by embedding a suggestion within a normal statement. For example, you might say to a colleague who seems stressed, "It's amazing how you can always stay so calm and focused, even under pressure." That phrase, "stay so calm and focused," can have a calming effect, bypassing their conscious resistance.
It's like planting a seed in their mind without them even realizing it.
Exactly. Another practical example is spatial anchoring, which comes up around week 40. This is about associating a physical location with a desired emotional state.
Like if you want to feel confident before a big presentation, you could stand in a certain spot and visualize yourself nailing it.
Right. Then when you need that confidence again, you just return to that spot and the feeling comes back.
Mm.
You can also use this with others, for example, if you're having a tough conversation. You could subtly guide them to a location that you've previously anchored to a more positive state.
These techniques are so fascinating. I can see how valuable they could be in all sorts of challenging situations.
And the great thing is once you understand these principles, you can apply them creatively in so many ways. The manual provides a framework, but you can adapt and personalize the techniques to fit your own style and goals.
It's empowering to realize we have this ability to shape our interactions and influence outcomes in these subtle but powerful ways.
That's exactly what the manual aims to do, empower you. It's not about manipulating people, but about understanding the psychology behind behavior and using that knowledge to create more positive experiences for everyone.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? Now, something else that really struck me was the manual's emphasis on the role of suffering in shaping our behavior. It's a bit heavy, but so insightful.
Yeah. Week 20 dives into this concept. It challenges us to look beyond just the surface behaviors and consider the deeper emotional and psychological factors at play. You know, it suggests that much of our behavior is in some way an attempt to avoid or escape suffering.
That's a pretty powerful statement. Can you expand on that a little?
Well, think about it. We strive for success, recognition, connection, all in an effort to avoid feelings of inadequacy, loneliness, or rejection. We create these personas, build walls, engage in all sorts of behaviors to protect ourselves from emotional pain.
So it's like we're all carrying around these unseen wounds,
yeah.
And our actions are often a reflection of those wounds.
Precisely. And the manual encourages us to see those wounds not with judgment, but with compassion, you know?
Yeah.
It suggests that everyone is carrying some burden, some form of suffering and understanding that can lead to deeper empathy and more effective communication.
Okay, so how do we actually apply this understanding of suffering? How does it help us in practical ways?
Well, for one, it can help us be more patient and understanding with others, especially when their behavior is challenging. When we recognize that their actions might be rooted in pain or fear, it becomes easier to respond with empathy rather than anger or judgment.
It's about taking a step back and asking, what might this person be going through that's causing them to act this way?
Exactly. And that shift in perspective can make a huge difference in our interactions. It can also make us more mindful of our own behavior and the impact it might be having on others.
This whole concept of suffering is really making me rethink how I view myself and the people around me.
It's a powerful lens through which to understand human behavior, isn't it? And it's a reminder that we're all in this together. We're all navigating this world with our own challenges and vulnerabilities.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Ellipsis Manual Training Planner, what one key takeaway do you think will have the most lasting impact on our listeners?
Oh, that's a tough one because this manual is so rich with insights. But if I had to choose, I'd say it's the importance of developing self-awareness throughout the program. It encourages you to constantly observe not just the behavior of others, but your own actions, thoughts, and emotions.
So it's about understanding how we show up in the world and how our presence affects those around us.
Exactly. That self-awareness is the foundation for all the other skills and techniques the manual presents. It allows you to become a more conscious communicator, a more empathetic listener, and a more effective influencer, all while staying true to your values.
This deep dive has been truly transformative. I feel like I've gained a whole new toolbox for understanding and navigating human interactions. What about you? What one behavior will you be paying closer attention to after this deep dive? Let us know. And remember, if you find value in our show, please support us at thinkandactlocally.com/. This has been The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.